Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Low Budget Bitches. Today we will be discussing RuPaul's Drag Race US Season 13, Episode 10. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good on this bright and sunny Saturday.
Yes, yes.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Just to kind of go on what you were just saying, we live in Toronto and the weather has been blessed this past week for a few days. It's been nice to experience a little bit of summer and some sunshine, you know, to ease off our seasonal depression. So I'm doing well.
And this episode helped me ease off that seasonal depression too.
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know about you, but I literally could not stop laughing. Like,
same.
I was cackling.
Same. Oh my God. This was honestly one of the best episodes. I think they should bring this challenge back in terms of the queens making each other over, because it's so funny.
I 1000% agree with you. It was just like, I kind of like thought the same way. I thought that you would probably like be like, what? This was not the best episode. I was just like, she might have opposing opinions, but I don't care. I honestly also thought this was like the best episode. So funny. Loved. Okay, we'll go through it all, but it was just hilarious and so good. Okay, so I guess let's kind of start off by talking about Elliot with two T's has gone home. Honestly, good riddance.
Exactly. It was her time. It took four tries and they finally kicked her out.
Exactly. It was exactly her time. I felt like when we all predicted who would kind of trickle out, she was definitely on that list. So I felt that this episode for me, like, I was actually like really curious to see who was going to go home, because it honestly is like a really good bunch of people. So let's just dive into the episode. So this week, instead of a mini challenge, the ladies got to get a psychic reading, which I thought was amazing.
I knew you would. I was like, oh my God, this has Amon written all over it. He is 100% on board for the psychic reading. He would want to be there too. He would want to get a psychic reading and he would totally, you know, believe in this.
It was like, I feel like we've never ever seen this kind of situation on Drag Race. It felt very like new, and it was so cool how they all ended up like on the main stage and we're like having that reading. I don't know. It was just everything about it was just very like legendary.
Yeah.
And the fact that psychic was able to like, the funniest thing was when she was able to get in contact to Utica's cow.
The cow. That was the funniest thing ever. Oh my God.
Everyone was just like, what the fuck is happening here today?
And I thought it was so funny because, I mean, I'm always kind of skeptical of, like, psychics that come on TV, especially. When the psychic was like, who grew up on a farm? And you was like, oh, yeah, I did. And she was like, there were cows, weren't there? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, no shit, there were cows. It's a fucking farm.
Like, I know.
Oh my God.
I know. Sometimes whenever like I see like any sort of psychic readings, like even when I back in the day when I used to watch Long Island Medium, I used to be like, some of these things are kind of obvious, but you know what? We'll give you the benefit of the doubt, Miss Psychic Lady. Alrighty, so after they have the psychic reading, they poof back into the workroom and they're all paired up. And so when they were paired up, at first I was just like, why are they being paired up if it's a makeover challenge? Like, I wasn't like, I was just like, maybe they're all going to get one person, like maybe like a crew member, just because that's someone who's in their circle. And then they're both going to have to make over that person to be like a child of them or something. That's what I initially thought it was going to be. But it ended up being different. So the pairings were Denali and Olivia Lux. I don't know why in my head, I keep thinking her name is Olivia Jade.
Oh my gosh. That's the scammer.
Who is that again?
The scammer. She like faked those like rowing pictures to get into college.
Yes. The daughter of Aunt Becky. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
So the next group was Tina Burner and Rose, the New York City Queens paired up together, which we love to see. Uh-huh. The next group was Got Mick and Candy Muse, which was an interesting pairing. And the final group was Simone and Utica. So what did you think of these pairings?
So for season 13, I think that all the queens are actually quite close to each other just because had to go through quarantine and essentially just being together 24/7 filming the show and just not filming. They can't do anything other than see each other. So I don't think any of these pairings are too weird or strange just because I think they're all friends. So I think any of them would have been happy to be with anybody, honestly.
I agree with you. I do agree with you. Hold on, just I don't know why sometimes Siri, like I'll just be talking and then my computer will think I'm talking to Siri and it's the
Yeah,
most
same.
annoying thing ever. I need to like turn off the setting, but I'll do that later. Anyways, I agree with you. I thought the same thing. I was just like, any of these pairings would have been fine and fantastic. My initial thought though was like the second Simone and Utica were put together, I was like, they're winning.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know that Utica is like a really good seamstress. Like she's sewed most of her outfits together. So I was like, regardless of whatever they choose to do, Utica will be able to put together a really great outfit for them both. But then we realized what they were supposed to put each other in each other's look. So I also thought that it was going to be like they both have to come out in like a look, like a twin look for like one of the queens and then another twin look, but it was just one look each.
I also thought it was funny, like Rosé and Tina Burner. I totally forgot that they had like a microscopic beef in the beginning of the show when they were just like, "Oh, it's Rosé. Oh, it's Tina Burner."
Yeah,
Like
it's very reminiscent of Miss Cracker versus Aquaria in season 10, where in the
Yes.
first episode they made it like such a big thing. They were just like, oh
I
my God,
know.
what the hell is happening? They both hate each other. And then like they both ended up being like friendly towards each other throughout the competition. Like there
I
was literally
know.
no beef and stuff. So, but I thought this was a cute moment just because also like they were so funny.
They were so
Rosé.
hilarious.
Rosé was just
Oh my
something else.
goodness.
What do you think of this claim of Candy Muse and Gottmik just complaining a little bit about how they're so different and that they had the biggest challenge?
I mean, on the one hand, I do agree they do have a challenge just because they are, physically different sizes. So that would be hard, I guess. But at the same time, wouldn't they have known that there's like a makeover challenge happening? So they would have to have prepared drag for potentially somebody who's bigger or smaller for them. So I'm like, is this really a real complaint?
Yeah, like I think that they showed a shot of Simone. She had like two of the wigs that she brought for the one that you viewed. And so it was just like, okay, it seems like they knew that they were gonna have this challenge coming up. So they should have like brought something that could have been molded into like a different shape. But I guess that is like one of those details that you probably don't think of while you're like preparing for Drag Race. You're probably just like,
It's true.
as long as I get like two looks, it doesn't matter what it is. And then you realize getting there, like, yeah, there could be someone who's a completely different shape than you are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's kind of go through them practicing their walk, which
Yes.
was like, okay, this is the thing that I want to see on Drag Race more because I feel like we've never seen queens talk about like, like what they do on the runway. I mean, like maybe they talked about it here and there, or maybe people make fun of it and it kind of becomes like iconic and stuff, but they've never really like, like analyzed it on the show. And I think this is
Exactly.
fantastic.
Yeah, I love how like they explain like, "Oh, I do these little flourishes and sometimes I just like say, 'Oh, what's over there?' and I point." And like they never explain it 'cause we just see them do it on the runway, but to see them explaining it to somebody else who has to basically like imitate them, comedy gold. It's so funny.
I know. And it's also like one of those things that like yeah, we never like I personally like there's some queens that like you see doing like an iconic walk, but then there's some queens who just do like a runway walk, right? And you just don't really think of anything. But then like, when they were doing this and analyzing and like going through each and every like little detail, I was just like, oh, like this is actually correct. Like I didn't notice this, but this queen like
Right?
does this compared to this other queen who does this, you know? Like I think the best example was like Tina Burner style versus Rosé style. Because
Yes.
Rosé is just like very like extravagant and like adds a lot of dance moves, whereas like Tina Burner is like that way. Which way?
Yeah.
That way.
That way.
Yeah. I rewatched their scene, like, I want to say, like, twice, because I was like, oh my god, this is so funny.
It's so good. And, like, every single time Rosé tried to do the little that way, she added her own little flourishes or whatever with, like, her fingers and, like, her head spins. And Tina was just like, no, 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 that's not me. That's still Rosé. You need to just point, see what's over there. I'm going that way. And I was like, this is so simple and, like, so mundane, but it's just so funny to, like, watch her have to explain this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's basically like an acting challenge, you know, like you're just, you have to be like someone else. And so I feel like that's like the hardest part, because it's like when it comes to other acting challenges, you know, it's just these made up fictional characters. But like, this is like, no, this is a real person that you have to, like, you know, fully embody. So yeah, I love this challenge, and I hope to see it again in a future season. Okay, so what did you think of Got Mick trying to do Candy's walk? Because that was a little bit of a hot mess, in my opinion.
Oh my god, that was so crunchy munchy. Ooh, that was a true cracker. True cracker. that was rough.
Yeah.
It was so cringe to watch her try to be like Banji or whatever. But it was just, I was dying the whole time that she was trying to get these Candy-isms on the stage. Like, you want to fight? Let's go. Like,
I know. It was pretty funny. I feel like Candy is not really like that on the main stage when she does her walks. Like, she is like somewhat like, you know, elegant and stuff. But I guess like, Got Mick took it really campy. It was interesting, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, she just gave more attitude, I think, than Candy has. Like, Candy has attitude on the runway, but Got Mick turned it way up to just embody the House of Muse.
Exactly. What did you think of Simone and Utica doing each other's walks? That was also hilarious. I love that line when Simone was just like, I gotta show her how to be the ebony enchantress. And I was like, oh my god, I love Simone so much.
I love her.
I am gonna walk into any room like that in the future, just like she does, with like the eyes like, I see you looking at me, and just like,
exactly.
Like, it's such an iconic walk. Like, I feel like this episode, again, they should have just been like, Simone, take the crown, take the $100,000, you win.
Exactly. Oh my god, it was so good. Watching Simone have to do the weird kind of kooky artistic walk that Utica does, hilarious. It's just like, they're so opposite of each other in terms of their looks and their walks. And it's so interesting seeing it, like, just being switched up.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting about this team especially is that if you've ever, like these two are very awkward and shy people out of drag. And I feel like they really, like, both of them, like, overthink a lot. And so when they were in the workroom and they were just, like there was a lot of shots of them just, like, staring at, like, the wigs and just being, like... what are we gonna do and shit? And so I was like worried for them, but then like the minute they started doing the walks and stuff, and then when I saw them on the runway, I was just like, no, these two are like completely different people, like out of drag compared to in drag, and they killed it. But we'll get into that in a sec.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, when they were paired together in the beginning and they were looking through their drag and stuff like that, everybody was just like side-eyeing all the groups, and I thought it was so funny every single time somebody was just like putting somebody in a costume, and you just have shots of the other groups like, ooh, yikes. Especially Tina Burner putting Rosé in that crazy ass, like,
oh my god,
phoenix on a fire, like that costume.
Yeah, and I like how Rosé was just like, yeah, no, if I'm in this, I'm definitely going to end up in the bottom two, and I need to have a dress where I can actually properly, you know, lip sync in.
Exactly. And even when Tina Burner put that huge-ass red wig on Rosé, her tiny little face and this wig, and she was just like, hey, this
I is know. The Tina Burner experience.
I love that.
Yeah, Rosé's. I've never like realized how tiny Rosé's face is until like you compare it to Tina Burner's face and her like hair and everything. And I'm just like, yikes.
I know.
Okay, what did you think of the whole conversation about Utica playing a black character?
Okay, see, I think white people need to understand something. You can play a black character without having to obviously paint your face black. You can wear the clothes. The hairstyle is different because, yeah, dreadlocks, cornrows, whatever, those are culturally significant. But when you have a character like Babs where her hair is just like styled into,
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was, like a top hat, but it also had weaving in it. That's not necessarily like appropriating black culture, in my opinion, especially
Yeah.
when you're doing drag. You're paying homage, you're taking inspiration. And so I think white people like Utica, they get too scared. And it's like, I feel like that comes out of ignorance because they also don't know that, like, there's a difference between appreciation and appropriation.
Yeah.
And so I think they need to educate themselves on that.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I mean, I did understand Utica's concerns, but I also think that if Utica had chosen to do this character without, you know, I felt that if Utica had chosen to do this character completely on her own without Simone, without this challenge or anything, then it would have been a little problematic to be like, oh, like, you know, maybe like you chose to do this. I mean, but that being said, though, I do agree. It is a character. And if you do the character without, like, you don't have to, you know, have blackface on or be blackfishing. It's just a character and embodying, like, who that person is and the personality and the vibe rather than, like, the actual look of it. So, I, like, was really, like, I wanted Utica to do this because I was just like, if she doesn't do this, I feel like they might end up in the bottom because this is a strong character. And this is exactly what Simone would have done. This is literally Simone's vibe. And I'm so happy that Utica, you know, decided to just go through with it. And it paid off.
Exactly.
Alrighty, so I guess let's go to the main stage. And start off with these looks. Okay, well, first of all, let's talk about RuPaul's look. What did you think of this look?
I mean, it did give me a pause. I was like, oh, okay, this little nude illusion bra thing,
I hated it.
not a good look. It, ooh.
The hair, I don't like it. It's such a harsh wig line. Like,
It
really,
was.
like, who does her hair? Isn't it like Delta? I think who used to do her hair, I don't know if Delta Works still does her hair. But like the wig line was just so harsh. And then like this, RuPaul's been doing this a lot with like the sideburn pieces coming down off the wig, which is a little interesting, but I don't mind it. But then the dress is where like I was pissed because I was just like, I wish that that like part wasn't even a nude illusion. I wish it was just like covered up red,
I know.
or it was like actually like a nude illusion, like or not, no, sorry, not a nude illusion, but like an actual just like cutout because that would have been like much nicer. But like any sort of like illusion where like you can tell that it's like an illusion, I hate.
Yeah, it just looks pointless. Like, what was the point of this? Like, why'd you do it?
Yeah. I loved that quick minute where like they were like bantering the judges and
Oh, yeah.
thing was just like, okay, Merle, and then Michelle was just like, don't get too comfy, Santino. I loved that little reference back to the earlier seasons.
Same. Oh my God, I died.
What is your opinion on the judges right now? Because I feel like we kind of like I personally feel like we do need a shakeup of the judges. Besides RuPaul, because I think obviously RuPaul is going to stay for a little longer, but I feel like they need to like I really like Nicole Byer. I want her to be like a regular.
Right, same. I thought you were referring to like the fact that they just keep using the same guest judges.
Oh, that I don't mind, to be quite honest.
Okay, same. I don't mind that part, but I do think Michelle has has truly expired because she's very inconsistent. There's been so many instances where fans have pointed out, like, hey, Michelle, you used to just drag this person for wearing this look twice in a row, but yet you have not dragged Tina Burner. And it's just like, so what's the truth? And so I think Michelle, while she is like a staple, I think it's her time to go.
I feel like they're probably never going to get rid of Michelle just because I feel like she's become like a part of Drag Race, like culture
I know.
in a way. So they're never going to do that. But I do think that like Carson and what's the other person?
Oh, Ross.
Yeah, Ross Matthews. I think that those two, like, I feel like it's t their time to go because I don't think they're too funny anymore. And I do feel that they're like, also, their opinions are kind of outdated. They need to get like fresher people when it comes to like someone who like knows or has like a better fashion sense, a more modern
True.
take. And even for comedy, just like someone who has like a more modern take. So like I would love to see like Ross Matthews replaced by Nicole Byer and then Carson Kressley replaced by, I don't know, someone younger.
True.
That's not me being ageist or anything. I'm just saying from a fashion perspective.
No, bitch, get those old bitches off my judging panel.
Oh my God. Okay, so now let's go into the looks. So first we see Rosé dressed as Tina Burner, with a 50s housewife look and then with a reveal.
Okay, let me just say, when they revealed Rosé's makeup in the workroom, I was shook. I was like, but not in a good way. Tina's makeup on Rosé is crunchy.
I mean, that's her face on her too, herself too. Like, it's
I
crunchy.
know it is, and I was just like, ooh, this is very harsh. And I have a new appreciation for how Rosé does her makeup, because when she does it, she does not look like what she looks like today.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, again, like I don't think we've ever seen like I think we've had like a few challenges in the past of Drag Race where it's like queens have to. No, I don't think we've ever had it where queens have had to paint each
No,
other. And so it is
no.
very interesting where it's like you now realize that someone, when they do their own makeup, like they do it in a completely different way, that their face looks so different. For this particular makeup, I thought it was so bad that it was so good because like it was like so perfectly Tina Burner, which is so just like disgusting, but like
Was.
also ugly. So the fact that it was like so good because it like was so perfect and spot on. So I liked it. I lived for it.
I know, especially that like glitter lip. That was wow. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. Like Rosé literally embodied Tina Burner in her walk, in that facial expression. Ooh.
It was definitely a good one. Alrighty, now let's move on to her partner, Tina Burner dressed as Denali. Oh, sorry, not Denali. Tina Burner dressed as Rosé.
This was so interesting to see Tina Burner with a different paint.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, her face just looks completely different. Unrecognizable.
Yeah,
I
completely different
thought,
nose.
yeah. I thought this look was okay. I mean, just in general, even when I see this dress on Rosé herself, it's just meh.
I personally didn't think that it was quintessential Rosé. I felt that Rosé this season, like on the runways, has been giving us a lot of like looks that don't like this looked more like a bar costume, like a bar look. And also like Rosé's been doing a lot of tulle, so I was just like it would have been really cool to see Tina Burner in like a tulle outfit. Also, I swear to God, I think this is the third time we're seeing this wig being used. I think. We saw this wig in the first episode. I think Rosé wore this to the entrance, and I think Rosé wore it another time. I could be wrong, or I think I'm mixing up a pink wig that Denali was wearing, but I hated this wig. So it was good, but I also wish that it could have been better.
Same, yeah.
Alrighty, so now let's move on to Olivia Lux dressed as Denali in this ice princess look. What did you think?
I kind of thought it was like boring, only because we've seen Denali wear this multiple times, I feel like, haven't we? Like this ponytail and this sort of little mini poof dress. So, I mean, it is quintessential Denali, but it wasn't like elevated.
I know what you mean, but I personally liked it. I don't think that this like Olivia deserved, or I don't think Denali deserved to be in the bottom for creating this look because I thought like literally like from the moment like you wouldn't even have to like tell me that it was supposed to be a Denali look to like for me to just know like yeah that's a Denali look like that ponytail itself I feel like is very quintessential her and then the like the skating
True.
outfit I thought it was really nice. Let's move on to Denali dressed as Olivia Lux. What did you think?
See, I didn't really understand the judges when they said like, "Oh, we can't really, see that this is Olivia right off the bat." And I sort of agree with that, but I also don't because I feel like we've seen Olivia with this sort of silhouette and this sort of glammed up look. But I also understand, like, other drag queens look like this too. They've had this nice sequin gown and the wig and
Yeah.
very pageanty. So, yeah, it was kind of flat. Like, there wasn't enough oomph in this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there was like a few things for me that stood out. This really just looked like it was someone like a random person who hasn't done drag putting themselves into a look inspired by Olivia Lux's like look. So it kind of just didn't feel great. So there is like a few things. Number one, Olivia did not paint her face right. Her face was
Oh
so
yeah.
bad looking. Like didn't like this again was an example of where like Denali really knows how to like shape her nose and her like face in a certain way. And then seeing this look, it was like if you had like if you paired like a picture of Denali's regular makeup and this makeup, you wouldn't be able to tell that this was the same person. It was very
Yeah.
different, but like not in a good way. I agreed with the hair as well. I thought that like Olivia has done a lot more. Like her hair is much more like poofier usually and much more like voluminous, I
Yeah.
feel. And I felt that if she had used another wig, it probably would have elevated it a little bit more. And then the last critique that I had is I don't know if this like makes sense, but anytime Olivia comes on the stage, like I feel like she wears like whatever fabrics she wears are very like soft and just look very like they're just like hanging on her body. Whereas this fabric for a dress and just this dress itself just seemed a little too costumey compared to like what she's like what Olivia has done in the past. So and all the girls in the Untucked also like said like it came down to like the dress especially like this dress was not the tea. So I wish it was better, and unfortunately, it just wasn't great. Alrighty, let's move on to Simone dressed as Utica. What did you think?
I thought this was great. When they were in their workroom trying on all of Utica's stuff, and Simone had this one on, and she just trying to find the armholes. That was so funny, and I'm glad it made it onto the runway. I thought this was definitely quintessential Utica, and Simone really sold it.
Yeah, I agree with you. When I saw them in the workroom, I was like, this is not going to be cute. I really hope that this is a look that they're just like trying on as one of the options, just like when Rosé tried on one of the dresses that Tina Burner gave her. But like, what we didn't see in the workroom was this entire like headpiece and like the makeup and stuff. And that all like comboed together, like, just really sold it. Stunning. It's my top. This is one of my top toots. Okay, so next we have Utica dressed as Miss Simonier in the Baps look, and this was stunning.
This was a fucking serve. Like, I've never seen Utica like this. This glam.
The
This
face was
suave.
done
It
right.
was. I mean, you could take some notes. after this challenge that, you know what, she can serve glamour and she should.
Exactly. I agree with you. I did see some like Utica-isms come out a little bit on that
Yeah.
runway, but it wasn't too bad. You know, it wasn't terrible to the point that it ruined it. But again, the Simone did a really great job at painting her face.
Yeah. Especially for being like the third face that she's painted besides
Yeah.
her own. Pretty good.
Alrighty, let's move on to the final team, which has got Mick dressed as Candy Muse first. This was meh.
Really, you didn't like this? I liked it.
I thought it was very okay, so I had a few opinions. Number one, when Denali like was asked, which we'll kind of get into a little bit, like you know, the thing that was brought up was that this look was kind of like a Tina Burner-esque look, which I did agree with. I think that, but at the same time, Tina Burner doesn't own flames, and I do understand that this is supposed to be like a looking inspired by Mugler. But I think that just the thing that sucks is that this season, Tina Burner decided to, you know, take flames and anything related to orange, red, and yellow and make it her brand. So unfortunately, it kind of felt like it was just like. And also it was just a bodysuit. Like it was just kind of basic. I was just like that's it. Like, you know, compared to like Simone and Utica's look, like that was like a fully realized look with like, you know, a lot of stuff happening, whereas this was just a basic costume with just a basic face. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
I mean, I sort of agree, but like Candy said in Untucked, because yes, I watched Untucked,
Shocking.
Tina Burner has never looked like a hoe like this on the stage. And I agree. I also think that got Mick with like her, you know, Candy Muse attitude that she kind of adopted really helped with the outfit and the whole like stage presentation. So I like this one.
Yeah, meh. Okay, so the last look that we have is Candy Muse dressed as Got Mick. What did you think?
This was spot on, like so got Mick with the white paint and like the nipples. It was like perfect almost.
Yeah, I agree. This was fantastic. This was like Candy was fully transformed. Something that she would probably never wear on her own. Fully
Exactly.
Got Mick. Like if she walked into a room, I'd be like, wow, that's a very Got Mick look. So kudos to that. So based off of all of these looks, who would you put in the bottom two? Let's judge it individually since our
Yeah.
judges judged it as teams.
I would have to agree with the judges, like Olivia and Denali, only because for them, their looks, sure, they looked like each other or whatever, but it wasn't elevated in my opinion. It wasn't like there wasn't another level added to it, another layer.
Yeah.
And I also think just because those two, their personalities aren't as big as like a Candy Muse or a Tina Burner. It was harder to see the sort of stage presence.
Yeah, it's interesting because I do agree with that because it's like, I mean, I do understand why the judges judged like asked for pairs because it's like, you know, even though one person did the other one's face, it's still the other person's responsibility to like embody the other person.
Yeah.
And compared to like all the other groups, I agree, like their personalities aren't as strong as the other one, so it's hard to like really fully embody it. But if it was up to me, I would probably put Candy Muse in the bottom as well as Olivia Lux, because Olivia Lux was responsible for Denali's look, and Candy Muse was responsible for Got Mick's look, and I personally just didn't that, yeah, it just didn't stand out to me.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, who is your top of this week? Your top two or top one person?
Simone and Utica. I literally, like, I almost cried when they finished their runway.
Wow, look at you getting
Yeah.
emotional for Drag
I was like,
Race.
oh my God, this is so good.
It was fantastic. I was really scared because It kind of seemed like Gottmik and Katie Muse might also take the
Yeah.
win. And so I was just like, no, that can't happen. Like, Simone and Utica killed it. They
I
really do
know.
deserve this. And I'm glad they got it, but I think this was Simone's third win.
Something like that.
It's either her third or second win. I'm trying to think. I know that she won. Okay, so this was Simone's third win. Simone won on episode 2 and episode 4. Which is, it's crazy because I'm just like, damn, that's her third win. Like, that's
Yeah.
amazing. Like, this, like, I don't know. To me, it's just wild. I'm just like, there's queens that haven't even won anything, and this girl has won three
I know.
things. Like, just give her the crown already.
Right? And I think Gottmik and Candy, they could have won if Candy's look for Gottmik was stronger.
I agree with you. I think that they were like very close to the win as well, but that was the only thing that was the thing that was lacking. So, I guess let's quickly discuss Untucked before we get into like the lip sync and everything. What did you think of this episode? There's a lot of tears.
That's why I only watched half of Untucked. Like
Oh my
when
God.
I literally stopped watching after Utica and Simone, they like talked to each other and were like, I really, love this experience and like thank you for like letting me feel this powerful and letting go and stuff like that. And then somebody else started talking or crying or whatever, and I was like, this is useless. I'm not watching this anymore.
Oh my God. You have no heart.
I'm just like, stop crying, like relax. Oh my God, these they're so dramatic. It's like they think that their career is ending just because they get voted or kicked off of Drag Race. And it's like, girl, you're still gonna be able to turn the shows. Like, you're gonna be fine.
I feel that way as well, but I think what it more so is just, I think what they're more sad over is like, okay, now we have to like go back, especially for this season. It's like, now we have to go back in isolation. Like, now I have to go back and just like sit in my hotel room, because I have a really good feeling like all the queens like that were eliminated this season, I'm sure that they didn't go back home immediately. Like, there was probably still stuff in
Yeah.
their hotel rooms and stuff. I would love
Yeah.
to know if they like they get their cell phones back or whatnot when they're eliminated, but that's besides the point. I think it's like just the FOMO that they'll have, right? That it's just like, okay, great, now I'm gone home, and even though this is a really hard competition, like, all these queens are gonna have fun and have these like moments that I'm gonna miss out on, especially like for Denali, because like she like Rosé was like her best friend and stuff, and especially because like they're all really close this season and they only really have each other, because they're in each other's like bubble. I think it is sad, but it's also like, I agree with you in the sense that, like, your career will thrive after this, so don't worry.
Exactly. I did think it was kind of funny though when they were talking about why they chose who to send home, and Miss Denali, she was just like crying, like, I couldn't say myself, I couldn't say my partner, so I just said the person who, was like the person that I knew could take it, and that's why I said Candy. And I was like, that's hilarious, because Candy just got so mad.
I
And
know
it was just like, excuse me and Gottmik had the hardest job, so don't even fucking tell me that I should be in the bottom or I should go home.
okay, so let's talk a little bit about that comment. First of all, let's go back to the runway for a quick sec, where RuPaul asked this, dreaded question that comes along every season.
Yes.
Do you agree with Candy saying that like this was she had like the hardest challenge her and Gottmik did, or like do you think that that was kind of BS? Because I thought it was BS.
I did think it was BS. I was like, Denali, seriously, Olivia and Denali, I feel like they just should have sent each other. And Olivia's reasoning for not saying herself during Untucked, I did not understand it whatsoever. She was just like, I just couldn't say myself because I knew I had more to give. And I'm like, okay, just because you say that you should go home doesn't really mean that RuPaul's going to send you home. Like, this is just a self-reflection, being like, yes, I didn't do the best in this challenge compared to everybody else on this stage.
Okay, so I don't know if I agree with that because I think that in past seasons, I think also something that we really have to consider is, what the implications of what you do on Drag Race on this TV show have outside of Drag Race, because that's what really matters at the end of the day. And I think that when queens say themselves, not only will other queens get mad who are also in the competition, but I feel that people, fans also get mad because they're just like, you're giving up on yourself. You're giving up. And that is something that has happened many times on All Stars whenever like queens are just like, oh, like I voted myself off, or like I think that I should be going home. Other queens will get mad or be like, wow, how dare you say that? This is such a good opportunity that we've had. How dare you give up and vote yourself out or like do that? That's like we've seen that happen many times. So that's why I understood why Denali and Olivia didn't choose themselves or each other.
I don't understand when that happens, and the other queens are just like, you're giving up on yourself. And it's like, hello, they just did the worst in today's challenge. Like, obviously, they're sort of, yeah, giving up on themselves because compared to everybody else, they didn't do that well. And they obviously want to do well. But hey, circumstances, whatever, it is what it is. They just didn't measure up, and I don't think it's a problem, and I don't think other queens should be mad and be like, oh, you're giving up on yourself, this is an opportunity, blah, blah, blah. It's like, fuck off, you're not in the bottom, you're not the one who did worse. Like, I'm feeling what I feel.
It's a tough question, right? Because it's like as much as you want to see yourself, you don't want to see yourself, but then you don't want to see someone else. So it's like it's just a whole tough situation. But I will say that this is like I think the first ever time that like after this question has been asked, there's been such a peaceful untuck after. Like everyone was just like, I am so sorry. Like this was just, and everyone was just like, don't worry, girl, I understand. Like this has never happened, which I actually thought it was cute because it's never happened. I was like, this is a cute moment. Like, because I actually did think that when they got back there, like that Candy and Denali were gonna have a huge ass fight.
Same. That's exactly why I tried to watch Untucked. I wanted to see a fight.
No,
But
the
then
thing that I'm
everybody was just
learning.
like, ooh, crying. Ooh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, this is so boring. Like, this is lame.
I know the thing that I've learned about like this season especially is like yes there was that whole drama with Tamisha versus Candy, but like ever I feel like this from this point on including Denali like in this however top eight or whatever they are like I feel like they're all like really good friends with each other, so it's a lot of like sappy moments, like even like the week where Simone and Candy were in the bottom, like it was the same sort of sentiment, like everyone was just like so sad and just like hugging each other and crying, and it's cute to see because because we don't usually see it, but I think that if this happens again on Drag Race, then I'm gonna be like, okay, I'm over it. Like, this is too sappy for me.
I know, I need some of that unhinged season 11 Untucked. I need that energy.
Or season 5 and season 6 Untucks were immaculate.
So good.
I really want them. Like, I miss the theatrics of the old Untucks. Like,
Same.
okay, you now need to go to the other lounge where there's a pink furry box waiting for you. Or now you can go back to the absolute vodka like lounge for a cocktail furnished by Pure One. Like I miss those weird ass theatrics.
Same. I mean, there hasn't been too many iconic Untucked moments. There's been some in like recent seasons, like, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous. It's just Brooklyn hold up with the cushions while Vanjie's going off. This season, I mean, there were some with like Tamisha, but not really.
Yeah, it's
It's like I can't quote the Tamisha fight. I'm just like,
it
what
was,
is
I mean, it
happening?
was just like I felt like she kind of like overused Nene's I said what I said
Oh yeah.
a little bit too much
Apparently,
with
that's an Atlanta thing. A lot of people in Atlanta say that. like even before Nene, like it's a known
Oh.
saying for people in Atlanta. Like I said what I said.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I guess just because like the
Right?
first time I heard Nini say it, like that's I
Yeah.
just thought it was like a Nini reference, but that's interesting because like I
I
swear to God,
know.
Tamisha said it like 5,000 times during like the one
Right? She
episode of Undark,
did.
and I was like, girl, I get it. I get your
I
point.
know. We heard you.
Okay, so I guess let's fast forward to the lip sync. So it ends up being that well, first of all, Simone and Utica win. And then secondly, we see that Miss Olivia Lux and Denali are in the bottom. What did you think of the lip sync?
I honestly, going into it, I didn't know who was going to do better because I feel like they're both quite strong when it comes to lip syncs. But Olivia was better, which was surprising because I honestly thought Denali was going to do better.
Really? I liked Denali's performance better.
No, I like Olivia's.
I thought that at the beginning Olivia was doing a little better of a job because she was going a little campy and stuff, but then like towards like the end I thought that like Denali picked up that pace and was going off of it, but also like I couldn't tell who was gonna win because this like usually like they'll edit the lip syncs to show the person who is gonna win more, but in this one I felt that they did a really like equal amount. And for a second, I actually thought that they were gonna do another double Shantae. I was like, we're
Oh
gonna
my
do it
God,
again.
yeah, same.
RuPaul does not want any of these queens to go home.
I really thought that too. I was like, are we gonna see another one? Like the little rattlesnake music plays.
Yeah, and I did, to be quite honest, I thought that this time they deserved to have a double Shantae compared to when Candy and Simone got it. I think that both of these girls did such an amazing job, such high energy during this lip sync. And I was honestly like shook when they said Olivia, Shantae, you stay. Like I was shook.
I could just feel Denali in her like core being, just having her face just like really.
Yeah, it honestly does suck, right? Because it's just like what I also kept thinking about. I was just like, oh, Denali's like going home in such a disgusting like makeup look. Like you're like, this is the memory you're gonna look back on. You're gonna be like, oh yeah, I was in this look. But I honestly like, what are your thoughts on Denali leaving? Are you sad? Are you shocked? Are you?
I mean, throughout the whole season, I was never a fan of Denali, so I'm not necessarily sad to see her go home. But I am kind of shocked that she went home against Olivia, just because she has turned out very strong lip syncs.
I think it also could have been that if she wasn't in a gown, maybe she would have turned it out a little bit more.
That's true.
For me, I think that it was around time for Denali to go because I did think, a few episodes ago in the Untucked or even in the general episode, she was mentioning how like she feels like she's fading into the background. It's hard for her to get in a word and all that kind of stuff. And when it does did came to like the acting challenges and stuff or like any of the challenges, I felt that she was good but not like the best, so I did feel like it was possibly like her time to go. She's like one of those queens that is iconic and amazing, but it's just not her time to win. But then I personally would have like expected Candy or Tina to go home before she went home.
True, true.
I don't know why Tina Burner is still here.
Yeah, like, I mean, Tina, she can be a great queen back in New York City, but I feel like on Drag Race, she's just not measuring up to the other queens.
Yeah, she's just not. And I was listening to Trixie and Katya's podcast with Gigi Good, and they were kind of discussing how this season is just, they're really just not focusing on the looks and the runways this time around. It's more so about like what people are bringing in, like the challenges and stuff, which I think is very evident because again, Tina Burner's still here and she does terrible on the runways, but she does amazing in the challenges. So it's quite odd what's happening this time around. But I think that next episode, if Tina Burner doesn't go home, I'll probably be a little mad. Alrighty, I guess that sums up our episode. Do you have any final thoughts?
I just need more of this makeover challenge. I think this style of makeover where the queens make over each other rather than, say, making over a family member, a crew member, or another reality TV star, I much prefer this format.
My favorite makeover challenges have been in All Stars 4 when they all got to do a friend or a close
Oh,
person. I thought
yes.
that that was really cute. This is now definitely on my list of best makeover challenges as well, just for like the theatrics of it and how funny it
Yeah.
was. I think those two are the only makeover ones that I liked. Perfect. Alrighty, I guess that wraps up our episode for today. Make sure to subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to.
And make sure you follow us on Instagram at the Low Budget Bitches and on Twitter at the Low Budget B.
And with that being said, we will see you all next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.